Love Talk Radio.
On the go, Travel Channel has taken viewers to great and unique destinations worldwide. The network takes a groundbreaking journey next Sunday night via a series set in the world's most troubled corners. Think the Middle East and Belfast, Ireland for two. It's all about uniting people of opposing cultures and, at the end, breaking borders. Emmy-winning executive producer Brian Leonard joins me next. More people than ever are dedicating space in their homes or apartments to smart TVs or devices that make their TVs smart. Are smartphone and tablet application creators getting smart about this happening? We'll explore with someone in business developing such apps with TV networks from ABC to Telemundo. Clearbridge Mobile Chief Executive Deepak Chopra, not the Deepak one you know, is our guide later this hour. Also ahead, Apple TV and HBO partner up. We will have the breaking details, and there are a lot of them. The Pope is scripted TV hero, and the Oscar nominee who might play him. And this week's classic trivia question. Get ready for your prize opportunity. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from the studios of Brooklyn Independent Media in New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this March Monday. Welcome again to the program All About Television. And for the first time in a long while, welcome to a Monday that's really warm here in New York. How warm, you think? 54 degrees the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Great show in store for you, so come on aboard and get involved with your phone calls and chat room reaction. Here's the phone number you use if you have a question or comment for any of our guests. It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, and locally on Brooklyn Independent Media. Shy about using the phone? No problem. Use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, on our Blog Talk Radio site. We've already got guest 1564 and Rick Webb, our good friend from Philly, already in the room. And for those of you listening on Blog Talk, remember, other people can join you live right now by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Brian Leonard of Breaking Borders joins us live from Toronto, Canada, from Chevy Chase, Maryland, after these news notes. We begin with some breaking news. HBO will distribute an a la carte service called HBO Now exclusively through Apple TV. Apple's set-top box product will carry HBO Now for $14.99 a month starting in mid-April. At that time, Apple TV's box will be reduced in price from $99 currently to $69. HBO will offer the first month of HBO Now for free if people sign up in April. Now, Apple CEO Tim Cook, who right now is speaking at his company's press conference at Yerba Buena, California in Silicon Valley, says that this HBO deal is just the beginning. More details, he says, to come. Couple of other notes. More than 2,000 titles will be offered on HBO Now from the start, including the new seasons of Game of Thrones, Veep, and Silicon Valley, all of which premiere next month. Also, it is still HBO's intention to sell this product to broadband subscribers of cable operators and satellite operators, but no clues yet on who will follow suit after Apple. But for right now, this service, HBO Now, is exclusive. It is also not only available on Apple TV, but also on Apple iPhones, iPads, and personal computers. We will talk more about this development in our second half hour with Deepak Chopra from Clearbridge Mobile. It's been more than a year since The Great Beauty won the Academy Awards Foreign Language Film Prize. Now, Paolo Sorrentino, the director who made that award-winning film, is preparing to launch his first TV project in English, The Young Pope, about the first Italian-American elected to the papacy. Sorrentino intends to film 8-hour-long episodes this summer in Rome and various locations, with no word yet on who will distribute the series globally. The Hollywood Reporter this morning says Oscar nominee Jude Law wants the lead role and is close to a deal. From Sorrentino's camp, no comment. Separately, like Water for Chocolate director Alfonso Arau wants to create his own historical landmark for TV via Netflix. Arau is bent on doing The Conquest of the Sun, about the rise and fall of the Aztec Empire. If Netflix comes through, Arau would oversee a 6-hour Conquest miniseries in 3 2-hour parts. Production would get underway this fall, and Netflix would offer the program in separate English, Spanish, and Nahuatl versions. Already on Netflix's timetable is Between, the Canadian-based epidemic drama featuring former Nickelodeon series co-star Jet McCurdy of iCarly and then Sam and Cat fame. Between will premiere May 21st, and unlike usual practice, Netflix will not release all six episodes at once that morning. This will be, you might say, an old-fashioned no-binging situation, 1 hour per week. And a quickie from NBC, Aquarius, the 1960s period drama featuring David Duchovny, debuts May 28th. And that's News Notes for today. Here's the formula for our first subject. Put together a journalist and a chef, put them together in some of the world's most troubled hotspots, and see if they can bring people together. And maybe much more than that, breaking borders.
They're born together, they're buried together, and yet they can't live together.
We're all collide.
It was complete and utter madness.
Everybody was culpable.
We've got some guests tonight that normally wouldn't speak to each other.
You are really the biggest obstacle to peace, so it wants us to.
What are you willing to give up for peace?
Joining us live from Chevy Chase, Maryland, outside the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Emmy-winning executive producer of Breaking Borders, Brian Leonard. Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Simon. Pleasure to be here.
This is not your typical Travel Channel show by any means. How did this thing get started?
This was brought to us as a format from Norway, and we hired the showrunner who had come up with this very unique idea, who had been a documentary filmmaker for years, going to these different places like this, these conflict zones and war zones and places that were just troubled, you know, top to bottom, and a history of that kind of life and destruction. And she was telling provocative documentaries about it, especially from a woman's point of view, which is one of the reasons why we wanted a female journalist to do this show. So we took it and developed it a little further and broadened it out and made it right for Travel Channel, and we ended up with Breaking Borders. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of series for us and me personally.
How did you make this right for this network? What made it so appropriate?
Well, the direction that we're going in right now is, to me, I've been here 4 years, and it's the best time that we've ever had here, in my opinion, at Travel Channel. We are turning into a very exciting and diverse and broad network, but with the travel mission clearly stated here inside and by our bosses and Scripps Networks as a whole. So we do everything from water slides and roller coasters and beaches, but all the way over to the other side of the spectrum with Breaking Borders, looking at conflict zones, and we do everything in between. So this definitely pushes the outer edge of what we're doing here at Travel right now, but it does it in such a full, powerful, rich, and emotional way. And it's travel because it takes you all over the world, but it takes you deep inside these places, and you hear and meet and learn from the people that are living these conflicts that, you know, we can't even imagine sometimes here in the United States. It's not a political show, and it's not with politicians. It's with the real people telling real stories.
And these are real people, Brian, who have very deep conflicts against each other. It's a clash of cultures. It's a clash of lifestyle. Politics, as you said, is not the story here, but just being with each other is.
It is, and the trouble is that it seems to just go from generation to generation to generation, and that's what you notice when you're on location. You see that the children of the conflict have learned from their parents, and they only know one way and kind of one way of thinking. And so there's some people that realize that just talking, just getting to know these people instead of trying to kill them on the one extreme or just hating them on a lesser extreme, talking is just the beginning of a solution, and that they really feel like that there's a solution. And every side that you talk to feels like that they want to live in peace, and they hope that that can happen. And some have gotten that, but like you mentioned, Belfast, you know, in Northern Ireland, they signed a peace treaty, but you can feel the tension and the disdain still in the streets, walking through the streets, and when you bring people together, it's palpable. You can really feel it, and you feel like that it wouldn't take much to get things started, even in places that have technically have peace at hand at the moment.
And one key to this show, Brian, is who you've paired up to do it. On the journalist front, you have Marianne Von Zeller. We know her from the Emmy Award-winning and the Peabody Winning series Vanguard, formerly of Current TV, now Al Jazeera America. But it's interesting that you pair her with a chef as opposed to someone from another trade. Why did you decide to go that route?
Well, because we think that the original concept was a chef and a war correspondent, because the war correspondent brings you into the place and gives you the history and the situation as it is currently, and can fill you in on the touchy, you know, issues at hand. And the chef is somebody that wants to go and learn the culture and the food part of it, but he's also, we definitely use him, and this is what Michael is so great at, because he is so passionate and curious, is he is kind of the viewer's eyes and ears and mouth on location. So he will ask sometimes what people may think are kind of obvious questions, but they're just not, and they're questions that have to be asked. And his job is to really be that viewer on location, and also be the guy that brings the people together at the meal at the end. And what he does on location, with sometimes with just an open fire, a couple of hot plates, and maybe a deep fryer, is amazing, because he does not come with a plan. He comes and learns the food, he learns the cuisine, he learns what the people like, and the spices and the meats and the fish and the vegetables, and then he creates it all in his head, and he doesn't even write it down, and he finishes it right on time. It's an amazing feat that he does, and pretty much by himself. I mean, Mariana will pitch in a little bit, a little sous chef action, but he pretty much does everything by himself, and it's amazing.
Mariana Von Zeller is the journalist. Michael Villaggio is the chef, and together they're out to breaking borders, starting with the Israel-Palestinian situation. That's the opening episode of this new Travel Channel series. It starts Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. We're speaking with Brian Leonard, the Emmy Award-winning executive producer of this series. He is joining us live from Chevy Chase, Maryland, outside the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you live from the studios of Brooklyn Independent Media near the Barclays Center. You have a question or a comment, give us a call for Brian. The number is 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, guest 1576, 1577, and 1582 already in the room. We have a big episode coming your way on Friday. David Shore, the creator of House, now the co-creator of Vince Gilligan, of the new CBS hit series Battle Creek on Sunday nights. He's my lead guest this Friday. And then the second half, a story you probably have not heard of before. The first television network aimed at Native Americans and programmed by them. It's called FNX. It's been off the radar screen for a while, and it goes on the radar screen with me when Frank Blanket, the director of production, joins me live and exclusive this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Battle Creek and FNX, two stories, two situations you will only catch this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So, Brian, once the pair got together, did you send them first to Israel for this first episode?
Yes, that's the one we shot about a year ago. And we all went and to kind of feel it out and get our legs under us for what the series was going to be. And it was a challenge. I mean, this was we had the dinner in a winery, and basically all we had was one gas burner, and I think it was a smoker. And so we did have to go out and buy a couple pieces of equipment for Michael to be able to cook, but I mean, that was just the first of his many amazing meals, and it was, I had never been to Israel or Palestine before, and Michael had never been, and it was just eye-opening, and I think you see that in the series. You see how much both people just soak in everything, and they feel for all sides of every conflict, because they're the human side of you can't help but you know, feel for the long, long struggle that most of these conflicts have been.
This is somewhat of a jigsaw puzzle program, because first of all, you have to get permission to film in these locations. Then you have to get permission from the people involved, the families involved or the participants involved, to actually get together at the table. How easy or how difficult was both challenges?
Well, it depends on the country, honestly. Some are much easier than others. The biggest challenge I do think that you have is having having people that have been, let's say, roughed up, or I mean, we had one guest in Kashmir that had been tortured multiple times and been put in jail for a couple of years. Once he was trying to protest the situation even peacefully, that's when he was arrested and then brought in and tortured. And he sat across from, an opposing member that was part of the party that had tortured him, and is just feeling for his desperate desire for peace and understanding in Kashmir. And when there's three different groups there arguing about, do you want to be part of India, do you want to be a part of Pakistan, or do you want to be Kashmir independent? And so it's more about getting the people together, agreeing to come and talk and visit and sit across from people, as Michael says, sit across from people that normally wouldn't be in the same room, together, much less sit down for an hour and a half and have a meal and a discussion.
So Israel-Palestinians are the first subject, and then you go to, where do you go next? Is it Belfast, Ireland? Is it Kashmir? Where do you go? Just give us some of the places you go to.
Yes, we go to Northern Ireland in the second episode, and then we go to Egypt to look at what that place is like now. It's so much change over Egypt over the last, year or so. And we have a couple of very, serious situations arise for the whole crew, including Michael and Mariana, in Egypt. I don't want to give too much away, but it gets pretty intense there. Then we go to Sarajevo, which is, the Bosnian conflict is something that I think people remember but don't know it, again, on a very personal level. And you'll learn and see places that I don't think anybody's seen before. And they talk about, just Sniper Alley and just the people that would be trying to conduct everyday business in downtown, and you would take your life in your hands just by walking across the street because the snipers were shooting at you from the hill. It's intense, but it's emotional. And I think the biggest compliment we've gotten so far is that people seem to be getting a real understanding of these conflicts and these stories. And because we don't go super deep and we don't get political, like I said, but we do try to let you have an understanding of the history. So we try to set it up and then try to tell you what it's like there now. And these people that we visit do a fantastic job talking with us.
But something else that you do here, David, Brian, is that you open up some windows that have been closed off for a long time in terms of world conversation, whether it's a place like Sarajevo, who some may still remember as the site of a Winter Olympics years ago, to some place like Kashmir, which you don't hear on the nightly news, you don't hear on all news channels, or in other networks. These are places that have sort of been forgotten in the scope of what we're all concentrating on these days.
No, you're right. And later on in the season, we do Rwanda and Cambodia, which are really kind of forgotten conflicts and war zones, but are still very poignant today when you're on the ground there. As well as, I'll tell you something that surprised us a lot. We did Cuba, and we ended up being one of the last, if not the last, crew let inside Cuba before the announcement of them lifting the embargo and loosening up the embargo. So we went back after we had left there to see if anything had changed, for the people that we had talked to at the dinner. And I'm very excited to see how that turns out. And the other surprise that we had was we ended up doing one with the Mexico-U.S. border in Nogales, Arizona, and Nogales, Mexico. Talk about bringing something very close to home and something on the front page right now. And that was just fascinating and eye-opening, and it's a very, very powerful hour.
How much time did you and your crew spend with Mariana and Michael in each location?
We spend about 4 or 5 days, depending on how much inside travel that we do. We jam a lot of filming inside a very little time inside of just these few days. Sometimes we really run Mariana and Michael a bit ragged, but some of these places are not, a cab ride away. they're over a mountain range or, you know, 100 miles north into the jungle. They went up to see the gorillas in Rwanda, and it was, you know, it's like a 2.5 hour hike up a mountain. So it's very taxing. But we usually do everything inside of 5 days, which I give them a lot of credit for because it's tough and it's a small crew. They do a lot of work. They do a great job.
That particular episode may be more timely because of Netflix's release of Virunga, which was the Oscar-nominated documentary about the fight to save gorillas in Rwanda and the Congo from being slaughtered or being captured or whatever by other folks because of the situation with the oil or oil services. Breaking Borders begins this Sunday night, Travel Channel, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We're speaking with Brian Leonard, the Emmy-winning executive producer of this unique series, probably the most unique that Travel Channel has done in its 28 years of existence. You have a question or a comment for him, give us a call right now, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. You'll find it at www.blogtalkradio.com. 1 week from today, we mark our first anniversary as the first and only internet radio or podcast program to be simulcast live on television. We'll tell you who our guests are throughout the week on my Facebook page and my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT, and also on our episode this Friday. Once again, on Friday, our guests will be from House and from the new CBS series Battle Creek, co-creator executive producer David Shore. And then from FNX, the first television network aimed and programmed by Native Americans, director of production, Frank Blanquette. It may be the first time this program, this network, has been highlighted on any television program or radio program nationally. And we'll have it for you this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Do you see a commonality between all the episodes of this series that we can all take away from?
Yeah, very much so. I see that people actually are very anxious to talk about their issues and talk about their country that they love, even though they have different perspectives and they have different ideals about what they think is right and what is wrong and a direction that they think the future should hold. I also find that people have a hard time of letting go of the past and moving forward in a positive way. I said earlier, when you listen to the children and even just watch the children and the young people, they're the future, but they have been brought up to only think kind of one way, and that's just something that you have to break that cycle. And that's I think I see that just about everywhere we've gone.
Brian, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, good to have you. You're on the line with Brian Leonard from Breaking Borders. Go ahead.
Hi, Brian. I was wondering how you guys handle the different food like laws and rules with the different the different groups that you're involved with. I remember reading about the Vikings giving milk to the American Indians, and that caused a war. So are you ever worried you might cause a war by giving, you know, meat to somebody on a Friday or something like that?
Well, Rick, I would hate to think that I would cause anything negative, that's for sure. And I'll tell you the truth. We do a lot of prep and research, and it's one of the attributes that's so positive about Gree Winther, who was the creator of this show and series, is that she has been to these countries and zones so many times that we know what should go where and what you can't do and what you can't share and what you can't mix. But I give credit to Mariana and Michael as well, because it's one of the things that Michael asks as we go through and meet all the people. What do you like? What can I do? What can I not do? He had never made a kosher meal before when he went to Israel and Palestine. And so he was asking a couple of people, and we went to a chef that opens a really has a hot modern restaurant in West Jerusalem, and he gave him some hints, and we went to an all kosher market to get certain foods, and so we're not afraid to ask and find out, because we don't want to offend anybody. We want to get it right. But the thing that Michael does do too is he kind of makes this fusion of the two cultures or three cultures, and is very creative about how he eats, but what he prepares. But I agree, we don't want to start any trouble. That's not our goal. We're just the opposite.
Well, sounds very interesting. So best wishes to you, Brian. Great success.
Appreciate it, Rick. Thank you. Make sure you watch and spread the news.
Definitely. Sounds interesting. Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Thanks again for calling. Take care.
You too.
Rick Webb joining us live from Philadelphia. Brian, before we go, any possibility that the series could be made available to schools or other educational institutions, let's say in geography classes, social studies classes? It sounds like this would be a natural.
I think that would be a great thing. I think that and colleges and universities. I think anything that can, again, open dialogue, and this show does that more than anything. We had a couple of scholars, an Israeli and a Palestinian scholar, look at this first show just to see if we were getting it right, and they were very impressed. And so these people live and breathe that certain conflict, and we were thrilled when they came back and said, you know what, you got it right. We had a couple of terminology things that we tweaked up, but they were both happy. So think about that for a second. You know, that's just a great start right there. So I think sharing this and getting it into classrooms of at any level will be a great and powerful thing. I hope it happens.
I've seen some clips from the opening episode, and let me tell you, this is a show that opens up a lot of ears and a lot of eyes and maybe even some hearts. Breaking Borders begins this Sunday night on the Travel Channel, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where it is playing in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, here's where you move forward to, www.travelchannel.com. That's www.travelchannel.com. Brian Leonard, the Emmy-winning executive producer, joining us live from Chevy Chase, Maryland. Thanks again for being with us this half hour. All the best with this show. Let's hope it runs long, but more importantly, let's hope it really opens up some doors for the people in the regions you cover.
Simon, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Same here. All the best. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Brian Leonard from Breaking Borders joining us live from Chevy Chase, Maryland, outside the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And now it's time for this week's classic trivia question. And on Friday, we featured the comeback of the Daytime Emmy Awards to television next month. You know, the first Daytime Emmys happened 41 years ago outside Rockefeller Center here in New York on NBC. This week's question is simple. Name the two co-hosts. Once you name both co-hosts, give you a hint. One was a newscaster. The other was a game show host. And your answer, if you're first and fast with it, could win the new book, Conversations with Kreskin, from Team Kreskin Productions, and a Brooklyn Independent Media tote bag. So in order to be first and correct, email your answer to simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you email, please include your name and your mailing address. Or take the Twitter route. Go hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. That Twitter avenue comes from Hopscotch, the company inviting you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at www.hopscotch.com. That's www.hopscotch.com. If you just missed the question, don't fret. I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on Twitter, my hashtag, at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. And you can check out last Friday's exclusive Daytime Emmy segment with David Michaels. He is the National Academy of TV Arts and Sciences Senior Vice President in charge of Daytime Emmys and the new producer of the event, Michael Levitt. You can catch that at www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the promo about television, Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Monday simulcast on Brooklyn Independent Media. Once again, 1 week from today, we mark 1 year simulcasting this program on Brooklyn Independent Media throughout New York City and Verizon Fios, throughout Brooklyn on Time Warner Cable, Cablevision Systems, and RCN. Keep tuned to Facebook and Twitter for the details, and hopefully we'll have a guest lineup for you on Friday's episode. And coming up on Friday, the creator of House, now the co-creator with Vince Gilligan of Battle Creek on CBS, David Shore. And from the new network aimed at and programmed by Native Americans, FNX, director of production, Frank Blankwith. All exclusive, all coming away live this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to catch up on our first year of simulcast, here's where you go online. www.vimeoreplays at www.vimeo.com/BKIndieMedia. That's www.vimeo.com/BKIndieMedia. And if you're involved with an advertiser or someone is, we would love to have you sponsor or underwrite this program. So email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com and let's do some business. When we come back, quick reaction to the news on Apple TV and HBO Now and more about smart TV apps and tablet apps. Our smartphone tablet app's going to go television. We'll talk to somebody who is already in business making smartphone and tablet apps for television networks, including ABC, Disney Channel, even Telemundo. Deepak Chopra, not the one you know, from ClearBridge Mobile, joins me next from Toronto, Canada, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web and channel identification. You are connected to Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 23 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Start your weekends off with Saturday Morning with Joy Keys, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And you can find BTR's Best anytime at YouTube.com. And we are simulcasting live almost a year now on Brooklyn Independent Media HD. It's your channel for borough news, issues, and culture. Live music happens right here in this studio every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on B-Side. You can call BIM for tickets and catch the music in this very space. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from the studios of Brooklyn Independent Media near the Barclays Center in New York. Happy to have you aboard. Great guest coming away from up north. You have a question or comment for him? Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Guest 1600 has just joined us. More and more people are buying smart television sets from the likes of LG, Vizio, Panasonic, Samsung, etc. And even more people are using devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, and Amazon Fire TV to make their TVs smart. By the way, we also have Intel's CompuStick coming out later this month. And then in May, the new device Shield from chipmaker NVIDIA. If you're a smartphone or tablet user, when is your apps, the apps you use regularly, going to be becoming popular on your television set? Well, we're going to find out now from somebody who is in that business. His name is Deepak Chopra. No, he's not the Deepak Chopra you know, who's world famous. He is the head of a company that makes mobile apps for such people as ABC, Tim Hortons, the popular fast food chain, and even Microsoft. So joining us live from Toronto, Canada, in an internet radio and simulcast exclusive, Deepak Chopra. Deepak, great to have you.
Thank you very much, Simon. Good afternoon.
And just to remind you, you're not the Deepak Chopra that everybody knows, loves, and understands.
No, I'm not. But, I'll take any credit I can with the name.
First of all, what's your initial thoughts about the deal that was announced this afternoon with HBO Now and Apple?
You know, in the end, I think it ultimately shows that the consumer is the winner here. You know, consumers have been demanding that content be available to their smartphones, to their tablet devices. So I think ultimately it shows that the consumer is winning out. People want to watch content where they want to watch it on the particular devices they want. In terms of the specific announcement, it's interesting to, that they're going to launch exclusively first on the Apple platform. We'll see how long that lasts. Obviously, there's a huge number of users on a variety of other platforms. So we think ultimately over time, HBO Now will show up on those other platforms. But we think it's a good move for a consumer. We'll see whether the pricing is, at $14.99, is that, a good price or bad price in terms of the consumer context. I'm sure they've done a lot of market research on that front. But it'll be interesting to see the adoption of this and how they compete against Netflix going forward.
Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, said that this was just the beginning, and he left it on that cryptic note, nothing else about that. Right now, Apple TV is really not part of the bunch of these smart TV devices like Roku and Google Chromecast, etc., because basically Apple streams television shows. They're not running, as far as I know, games. They're not running apps from their own developers for iPad, iPhone, etc., etc. They're not doing original interactive apps. They're not giving you the opportunity to watch the web over Apple TV. Do you think this is the beginning of a move to have Apple TV be just as much important as a Roku or Google Chromecast where you can watch the web through this device?
I think so. As Tim Cook mentioned, they have 25 million device Apple TVs out of market currently. With them dropping the price from $99 to $69, clearly they're trying to broaden out the platform in the marketplace and trying to carve out its niche, especially as, smart TVs come to market that are fully capable. As, Chromecast continues to proliferate out there at $40. You have other devices like Roku and so on, as you mentioned before. So I clearly believe, in my opinion, that, they're probably looking at the medium to long term to set up where they have a larger distribution and then where they can move more content than they have traditionally to all those end users. A lot of people use their Apple TVs today, whether it's to buy movies, to watch Netflix on. So the opportunity is there to grow that footprint out over the course of time. And then cutting that price allows them to establish that user base out there.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about ClearBridge. How long has it been in business, and when did you start developing apps in mobile land for television?
Terrific. That's a great question. ClearBridge was founded by myself and my partner back in 2011, so we've been around for about 4 years. We're a dedicated team of mobile professionals building mobile apps for the largest brands in the world. We've been focusing on the media space for over 2 to 3 years now, as we've been able to carve out a strong niche in helping companies in that space build out mobile apps and deliver TV Everywhere experiences, whether it's to your Apple devices, whether it's to Android devices, to your Kindle. We've done a lot of work in different areas, trying to enable content providers to get their content out to wherever consumers are.
So when you develop an app for an ABC or a Disney Channel or Telemundo or NBC, Bravo, Oxygen, all your television network clients, do they tell you specifically what show they want the app for, or you do a general app for the network?
Typically, we're doing a general app for the network, but they have the ability, based upon the technologies they use, to gate or open up that app for different types of content. But when we build something for them, typically, it can handle all their content, and they have the choice or the ability, most of our clients, if they want to, throttle the content or open it up based upon their business decision-making process. So what we create is something that's very flexible and dynamic that allows them to make those choices in the marketplace.
So, for example, if I were to use my smartphone or use my tablet to get one of your apps, what would I see? What kind of content would there be?
Typically the apps we've built, our clients are providing typically their entire library of content or the entire library that's available to them to both platforms. You would see video on demand. You might see live streaming, heavy integration with different social media as well. Content that that you come to expect to see out there these days. And, our clients have the ability, if they choose to, is to show different contents on the different platforms. We haven't seen them do a lot of that at this point, but they all have that ability that if they wanted to show an iPhone user something different than the iPad user, they would definitely have that capability if they choose to at a certain point.
Mm-hmm. Among the networks you're working with, what's the most popular in terms of what people are watching? Is it ABC's stuff? Is it Disney Channel stuff? Is it Bravo? Is it Oxygen? Who's like on top?
I can't go into our specific, numbers with our clients and so on, but, generally broad trends. We see a lot of demand from our clients, where, live programming is obviously very important, whether it's sports or large, broad, sort of award shows. Live programming is very, very important to our clients. Video on demand continues to grow in importance as well. And, what we're seeing there is it's very dependent on the niche you're in, right? If you're very targeted to kids programming, if you're a parent, you understand you want that content available at the restaurant if your kids are acting up, or whether you're, out and about as a business traveler, you want access to that show, some sitcom show that you watch in the evening time. So depending on the market and the niche segment, video on demand is very focused. And what we see with live is that's obviously much broader distribution, or it's growing because of, live is the immediacy of trying to watch something right now.
In a moment, we're going to play a video about the various apps you do with people like ABC and Disney. And I noticed that PayPal is also involved. How are they involved in your apps?
We are mobile specialists, so in addition to doing a lot of work in the media space, we do work in mobile payments, we do work in B2B, so we work with a broad range of clients. With companies like PayPal and, Tim Hortons, as you mentioned, other, we're helping them create that mobile payment experience. We're working with them across different platforms, and just to create that seamless mobile wallet experience, whether you're going to go buy your coffee or whether you're going to go buy something at a retail store with your mobile phone. So we're working with a number of different clients in the mobile payment arena, retail, e-commerce, helping enable that seamless buying experience with your mobile device.
ABC, Disney Channel, NBC, Bravo, Oxygen, Telemundo, they're all clients of ClearBridge Mobile. That's the company we're learning a lot about this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised from its chief executive officer, Deepak Chopra. The Deepak Chopra we're talking with, not related to the very famous world notable. Anyway, Deepak joins us live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you south of him here in New York at the studios of Brooklyn Independent Media, the Barclays Center. You have a question or comment? Make that call. The number is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's going anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the globe on Blog Talk Radio, locally here on Brooklyn Independent Media. And don't forget, we've got the chat room going. You go to www.blogtalkradio.com, check in at SimonApple04, and you can post your question or comment there. We've got guests 1600, guests 01576-1577, and Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, who we heard from in the first half hour, still aboard. Remember, Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we've got the creator of House, now the co-creator with Vince Gilligan, of CBS's new hit drama, Battle Creek, on Sunday night. We're talking David Shore. We'll find out how the series was made. And yes, if one of the faces of the co-stars of that show is familiar, yes, he is the person from the Allstate ads, Mr. Mayhem himself. We'll ask David how he got on the program and whether the ads made a big difference. David Shore of Battle Creek is my first half guest. On the second half of the hour, find out about the new television network that is aimed at and programmed by Native Americans. It has been off the radar screen pretty much ever since it started. And we'll find out how it all came together from Frank Blankwit, the network's director of production. It's called FNX. You'll hear about it exclusively this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Before we show the tape of how this all looks, how long does it take to design a mobile app for a network compared to, let's say, a Tim Horton or a Microsoft?
That's a great question. Media applications tend to be quite large applications. So, you know, for us, it's a big range, but a typical media application can take anywhere between 3 to 6 months to build out with a team of developers that can range anywhere from, 2 to 4 upwards of 10. So they're rather large endeavors. A lot of work goes behind them, but typically that's sort of your broad range. But application mobile development really depends on the features and functionalities that our clients are looking to do. And they continually are updating the app to make great experiences for their end user.
So for the next minute, we're going to show and showcase the various television apps that ClearBridge has developed over the last few years. For those of you listening on Blog Talk Radio, you won't obviously see the apps in action, but you will hear some funky music. And trust me, the apps are cool. Justin, play it. Other clients is USA Today, which of course is run by Gannett. Gannett is also a major television station owner. Has Gannett contacted you about maybe making apps for their TV stations?
You know, we work with a variety of clients. We do a lot of work with them. They're terrific people over there. We help them enable their properties across both broadcast and print and making sure that they have apps to serve their customer base out there. So we work with them on a number of different fronts, but needless to say, you know, a number of our clients are doing that right now where we're building applications for them to get, you know, where their local stations can, provide content to their local user base out there via mobile apps or tablet apps.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that right now your apps are available on Amazon Fire. And as you know, for 10 months now, Amazon has had Fire TV, which is their smart TV-making device. Have you thought about perhaps adapting your apps for that?
Yeah, so some of the clients we work with, some of the work we've done is making their apps available on the Amazon platform as well. So we've already been enabling that. So a number of our customers, have put content on that platform because there's obviously a business opportunity, a market opportunity that they've seen. And so we've helped a number of clients already achieve that. So I'd say for the most part, the most popular platforms that we're helping clients enable out there is the iOS platform from Apple. It's the Android platform, obviously, from Google. And then I would say Amazon is probably, our solid number three in terms of helping our clients, create that mobile experience on.
As mentioned before, Deepak, there is now this smart TV universe of customers. Either they're buying the smart TV set and using it, whether it's an LG set or a Panasonic set or a Samsung set, not only to watch their favorite shows, but to watch the web, not just web video, but websites, to perhaps play games, video games, using perhaps their remote control or smartphone or tablet as their console, if you will, or their joystick, as well as do original interactive apps. And now you have these millions of people who are now making their TV sets smart by buying a Roku, by buying Google Chromecast, by buying Amazon Fire TV. Intel's got CompuStick, which puts Windows on a TV set later this month. And we mentioned last week about NVIDIA's decision to offer Shield, which is, they call their all-in-one supercomputer, smart TV, video game player, set-top device, which will come out in May. Given your business being in smartphone and tablet apps, what do you think about this universe? Do you see it as a business opportunity? And is your view, if you see it is it shared by other smartphone and tablet app makers?
For us, it's already been a tremendous opportunity. So, we build mobile apps, but when we work with our clients, we're not just building those mobile app experiences. We're also building the smart TV experience as well. We've done work with a number of our clients enabling, Apple TV applications, enabling Chromecast apps as well. So, we've already been in that space for a number of years. The key challenge for our clients is that if you think about what 10 years ago or 10 to 15 years ago, outside of traditional television broadcast TV, you would build a website to host your video content or show your video content on. Over the last 10 years, the market's obviously become much more diverse, where now you need that web interface, but now you also need something for your Apple users. You need something for your Google users. You need something now for your Amazon users. You need something now for your smart TV users on the LG set, et cetera, et cetera. So for our clients, that's become the biggest challenge, is the platform proliferation out there. How many different platforms do they want to support? And today, iOS and Android are obviously the clear winners out there, and so everyone will support that. But beyond that, how many additional platforms should they support? So that's the real challenge, is where do you put the cutting line in terms of, is there a number of users to go build out that next application? And once you build it, you also have to support it. So there's an ongoing cost in terms of supporting those platforms. And that's the biggest challenge for our clients. We help them. There's more platforms out there. That means there's more apps, whether it's on a TV or a phone or a tablet. As long as they're creating a media application, for us, that's good. We're sort of the arms dealers to all these guys.
A few weeks ago, we had Social Media Week here in New York, and of course, Social Media Week was also in other cities across the United States and around the world. And here in New York, there was a showcase where 10 companies, all based in New York, showcased their services. They're all startups. 6 of the 10 were smartphone and tablet apps, and each and every one of them, the conclusion I had from watching what they were doing is they could easily be smart TV devices, smart TV apps, and do great. But given what you just said, I'm wondering how difficult is it for these application developers to adapt what they do for smart TVs? And is it really a barrier to them, especially given what you just said?
For most providers, there is a number of technical challenges. If you're building something on smartphones, you do have to build up some competency to build on smart TV platforms, something that we've done here internally at ClearBridge Mobile over the past couple of years. There are a number of challenges out there. So, for those startups out there, they will have to get those expertise in-house to do do that port over. And then there's also the now you're supporting more platforms and the maintenance of all those platforms. So it's definitely a challenge. The more platforms you get, you know, you need the resources to build out on that. Plus, now you need to support more. And that's where companies like ClearBridge Mobile come into play, that we can help our clients, whether it's that startup who's looking to create a brand new media experience, whether it's a large media company, whether it's a large broadcaster. We're helping them, you know, manage and enable all those platforms that they've decided that they want to be on for whatever particular reason. So, you know, it is a challenge. It is a challenge for them. You know, it's not just the technical, you know, time, but also the maintenance time. And because each platform is a lot of work.
Deepak, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tamavi Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Michael. I'm from Chicago, and I have a question for Deepak. We hear a lot about responsive web apps versus native applications, and I'm surprised that I don't see any responsive web apps for TV Everywhere. Can you tell us why that is, or maybe what the benefit is for native applications?
Thank you for the question, Michael. So ClearBridge Mobile, we do native application development, but in addition to that, we do responsive web as well. So we have a lot of experience on both sides of the equation there. The issue with responsive web applications for TV Everywhere products is that typically a lot of the device functionality can only be really exposed through a native application. So that's why you've typically seen players in that space launch native-only apps. You know, what you can do, the security, the fidelity, the robustness of the app typically tends to be much better in a native experience. That said, every year, responsive is trying to narrow that gap, responsive web design, responsive web technology. So maybe over the course of time, you might see TV Everywhere apps or, you know, applications show up more on the responsive web side of things. Right now, you still see that gap there. But, you know, as ClearBridge Mobile, you know, that's one of the things we do. We keep a pretty good tab on the trends out there. We work with our clients across a broad range of technology stacks, whether native or responsive web. So, you know, it's something that we're definitely capable of handling once the platforms are capable of providing that experience.
Michael, good,
got it. And then just as
call.
A follow-up.
Oh, go ahead. Michael, go ahead.
Just a quick follow-up. So do you just do the front-end applications, or do you also do the back-end and middleware?
That's a great question. So originally we started as a company that did front-end only, so whether responsive web or native. Today we are building that entire full-stack experience. So for some of our clients, we are building the middleware, we're building the back-end content management systems to power the applications that you'd see out in the marketplace here. So ClearBridge has become a full-stack provider over the past 36 months, enabling our clients you know, wherever they need help.
Awesome. Thank you.
Michael from Chicago, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Michael calling in from Chicago. Got a few more minutes, so if you want to get in, ring in now at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, guest 1638. We welcome you into the room. Deepak, do you think it's going to become a must for websites, smartphone apps, tablet apps to become television usable as more and more people adopt to watching the web and doing original interactive things on their smart TV sets or their smart making devices? There's a sense that already more people are watching stuff on smart TVs than on a personal computer, and you wonder if ultimately it's going to have to be a must.
I concur with that. I think over the course of time, I think most media applications, especially where you're watching content, whether live or on video demand, have to be able to be watched on that television set through your smart TV. It's much nicer to watch video content on a 60-inch LCD screen than on my, you know, 13 or 15-inch laptop or my iPad even. So, you know, if you have that opportunity where you can sit in your living room couch and watch programming, I think, you know, definitely you want to watch it on that big screen. So I think over the course of time, you will see more and more apps show up on those platforms, on the smart TV platforms, whether they're the boxes that you can buy from Apple TV and Chromecast, etc., or sticks, or whether they're embedded right within the set. The challenge for the content providers and the broadcasters is how many of those platforms to support. That's their big challenge out there. So they're looking for the, they're hoping for a market that consolidates a little bit, especially around the smart TV side of things. As Samsung is launching, you know, embedding Tizen in all their smart TVs to create that more consistent experience. Maybe that platform, as a application platform, should take off from a TV perspective over the course of time, because Samsung is the number one provider of, you know, television sets in the globe today. So, you know, we're our clients are definitely looking where is their consolidation and enough volume to support the ongoing cost of development and maintenance of those applications.
When do you see this happening? Late this year, take another year, 2016, 2017? How fast do you think this movement's going to happen?
You know, the way I look at things, things are never a single point. They're processes, and I think we're going through that process right now. So I think we're nearing an inflection point here. I think Apple dropping their price to $69, and maybe the original inflection point was, you know, Google launching Chromecast originally for the $40 price point out in the marketplace over a year ago. So I think all these elements are contributing to a market that's starting to accelerate, where you're going to see more and more cord cutting, but that doesn't mean people aren't going to be watching content on their television through an HBO Now application, through your Apple TV, through your Roku box, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you're starting to see that trend line definitely start to accelerate. You can see it in our own household. You know, we have three kids in our household. You know, the concept of broadcast television to them is a foreign concept. All they know is Netflix, Apple TV. That's their experience. That's their TV experience, which is very different than the TV experience I had growing up. quite a number of years ago now.
And two more quick facts. 10 million people now have Roku in some fashion, and its first 18 months of operation, Google Chromecast, 1 billion views. So websites, smartphone apps, TV apps, get smart TV and these devices on the radar screen. Learn more about ClearBridge Mobile and the various apps they've developed for TV networks, other media, and companies like Microsoft and Tim Hortons at www.clearbridgemobile.com. Deepak, thank you again for joining us live from Toronto. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Simon. Have a great day.
Deepak Chopra, CEO of ClearBridge Mobile, joining us live from Toronto, Canada. Before we leave you this afternoon, a quick alma mater accomplishment. For the second straight year, my AM, that's American University in Washington, D.C., will play for an NCAA men's basketball tournament spot this Wednesday night. The Eagles won over Colgate by 9 yesterday afternoon and will face Lafayette for the Patriot League tourney title. And for the second straight year, CBS Sports Network presents the Patriot Final Wednesday night. So go Eagles, get in the tournament and win that first round game. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, David Shore from Battle Creek and the new Native American television network FNX. It all starts at 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific, and next Monday right here, our first anniversary as a simulcast. Check out our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised, and our podcast at itunes.com. The views expressed are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and Brook Independent Media. Our production associates are Amy Domestico and Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. The creator and chief executive is Mr. Alan Levy. Today's simulcast was produced and directed by Justin Bryan. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum with the studios of Brook Independent Media in New York. Thank you for your watching and listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Back Friday on Blog Talk Radio. First simulcast anniversary next Monday here on Brook Independent Media at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned with a good voice.
Yes, I am.